Well, welcome to Little Hickman Christian Church. Folks have been gathering here for 180 years to worship God and Jesus Christ, and we hope to continue doing that until the Lord returns. So we're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us this morning. First thing we do, usually, is report on the folks who need our support in prayer. And we have a number of those that are under extended treatment for serious issues, and that last part of the list doesn't change very much. We have Bud Jeanette and Darlene Elliott being treated for cancer, and Keegan Guy for leukemia. Three stroke patients who are in various stages of recovery, Kathleen Baker, Debbie Gardner, and Chris Christie. And then Chris's wife, Rhoda, is in the nursing home with him with a blood clot problem. So they all need your continued prayer. Charles Hager is in St. Joe Hospital in Lexington. And his condition doesn't seem to be real good. I'm not exactly sure what they're treating him for, but he's seriously ill, I think. We have two folks dealing with COPD. That's Charlene Montgomery's mother, Joanne Wilson, and Mike Wheeler's mother, Lynette Wheeler. And Lynette's just staying home for a while out of caution, really. We ask your prayer for the folks in the Thompson Hood Veterans Center. They've had a rash of COVID cases, especially in the department where Tammy View works. So we need your prayers for them. Brad Teeter, the doctors are still trying to diagnose his problems. I see him here today, so that's a good sign. But he's still seeing the doctors, I think. Jody Vickers is back. Her bronchitis is not altogether gone, she said, but she's doing better, and that's a blessing. Of course, our college students, we want you to remember to pray for them. I have a couple of other things to mention, too. Harold Hill, before he left to go to Florida, had made several doll beds. And if anybody would like one, if you have a grandchild that would like to have a little bed for her doll, they're in the back classroom, and you're welcome to take one if you want one. We have three birthdays to recognize. Billy Fount turns 80 today, and Becky's dad would have been 101 today, and Danny's dad has a birthday too. Danny Patton. So we have three birthdays to recognize today, and we're glad about them. Remember that our FM and Facebook broadcasts will probably end after November 1st. So we'd love to have you come in the church, and we have room to social distance. Can handle a few more people in here pretty easily. This is the day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, grateful that you've invited us into your presence, and so very thankful for the blessings with which you surround us. But this world in which we live seems so twisted, so divided, so out of control. We pray for you to guard all those who are suffering today for one reason or another. And we need for you to forgive our many sins, especially anything we may have done to contribute to the chaos in which we live. We pray for those who protect our nation and those who lead our nation. And we ask, Father, that your will might be accomplished in our upcoming election. We pray you'll help us make this church a beacon of light and love and healing for this community. And we ask all this in the wondrous name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We serve communion every Sunday to keep fresh in our hearts the sacrifice our Lord made for us on the cross. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we welcome you to join and share communion with us. If you're in your car, our men will come and serve you there. If you blink your lights or your emergency flashers or your turn signal, just to let them know where you are and that you want to have communion. I read about a fellow who recently attended a high school sporting event. I think it was a baseball game. And when he got there, he realized he left his billfold at home. And he said, having no money and no credit card left me feeling humbled. He couldn't buy a bottle of water from the concession stand. No hot dog, for sure. He couldn't stop on the way home and get gas. He couldn't do anything. He just felt needy and very helpless. And I think that's probably how we should all feel in the presence of God, especially when we gather for communion. We come before Him spiritually penniless. We can't buy our way into good standing with the Lord. We're totally helpless. We have to rely on His mercy and His grace. Thankfully, through Jesus, God's mercy and grace are available in great abundance. God's amazing grace sent His Son to the cross because we absolutely could not help ourselves. I love the scripture that Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." It is eternally important. David Bain will lead us in our communion prayer.
Good morning, our gracious Heavenly Father. We thank You for everything that You provide for us, which is many, many things. Lord, at the present time, we want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and what He meant, what He means to us today. If He hadn't have been sacrificed for our benefit, heaven would have probably been an awful, lonely, empty place, because there's just hardly no way that you can go through this life and not commit sin. And for Him to be able to forgive our sins means so much. And as we partake of this cup, which represents the blood that was shed, and the bread, which represents His broken body, we are so grateful for this opportunity, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So if you share in the offering today, I hope you do so with great joy. God's been so good to us in so many different ways. For those of you in your cars, you may signal in the same way if you wish to share in the offering, and our men will be able to find you. Danny Patton will lead us in our offering prayer.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing you provide us with. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just got a note with two more announcements. We'll have a Get Well card for Charles Hager. If you'd like to sign that, it will be up here on the piano after the service. And also a prayer request for Grace Lunsford, who's not doing well. Okay. I'll be very happy when we can have everyone inside and all sing together as one voice. I know it's difficult when you're in your car without a hymn book, but try to sing along with us whenever you can. We're going to begin with hymn number 128, which is Wonderful Words of Life. And we're going to sing just the first and the last verses of that song, number 128. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Let's sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of light. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. All right, and then let's sing hymn number 548, which is Glory to His Name. And let's sing all four verses of that one, okay? Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for mercy from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from the sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fount and so rich in sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to the fountain so rich and so sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name indeed. Let's turn to number 420 for our prayer hymn. And just before we join in prayer, let's sing together just the first verse of the song, In Times Like These. In times like these, in times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. That rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips. grips the solid rock. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we want our lives to praise You, not just on Sunday morning. We want our lips to praise You every day. Help us always to remember that You chose us to be a city set on a hill to radiate the glory and the love of Christ. Please forgive our selfishness and fill us with the same compassion that led You to give Your only begotten Son to save us. Lord, show us what it means to surrender to Your will with all our hearts. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you a scripture from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote this letter to those folks and starts his letter by assuring them of their spiritual blessings in Christ. And beginning in the first chapter of Ephesians, at verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given to us in the One He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ, in whom also we are chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." There's a lot of praise and a lot of glory in that passage of Scripture. But I want you to think about it this morning with me. Some statistics are useful. Other statistics are worthless. I want to begin by sharing one that I think is amazing. This is a statistic. Listen closely. Here it is. In a typical year, about 1 billion snowflakes will fall each second around the world. Now, don't ask me who counted them. But that's enough snow to make one snowman for each person on the planet every 10 minutes. Now, that may seem worthless to you. I guess you're probably thinking, well, I could take that information and a couple of bucks and go buy a cup of coffee somewhere. But here's an interesting one you probably have heard before. Of all those billions and billions of snowflakes that fall every second, no two are identical. You've heard that, haven't you? Each one is unique. Now, I don't know who determined that either. But here's another truth I want you to consider today. There's no one exactly like you in the world. Look all the world over, there's no one exactly like you, even if you're a twin. Because, you know, parents can determine differences between their twins, otherwise they'd go crazy, wouldn't they? But there's no one exactly like you in the world. Our identity is determined by a number of different factors. There's your family, for example. Genetics plays a part in your identity. You may look like one or both of your parents. You may have mom's smile and dad's nose. My daughter said she got my nose and she's never forgiven me for it. But your friends have a part in determining your identity also. How much you allow them to shape your life. That's why your mama always told you to be careful who you hang out with, you know? Your teachers. I can still name a few teachers from my past who made an impact on my life, not just for what they taught in class, but for the way they talked to me and the way they dealt with me. They made me feel special, unique. And even your minister can influence you. When I was a teenage new Christian, I had a minister who sang, and I always wanted to sing about the Lord like he did. So there are many people who shape your life. Some in good ways, some not so good. But nonetheless, they play a part in molding you into the person you are today. And the same is true of all of us. Because there's no one exactly like you. Well, that fact presents us with a series of questions. Like, for example, who am I? And what does God want me to do? And what's my purpose in life? And what is my unique identity in Christ? Well, that's what Paul was telling these folks in Ephesus. And here's the truth. Many people will go through their lives without ever being able to answer those questions. Fortunately, we have the Scriptures, and we have prayer, and we have people we can go to talk to, so we can find out. Because all of us need to understand our unique identity in Christ. And in that passage from Ephesians, I think it will help us understand our true identity and our true purpose in life. So let's jump in. As I said, Paul, the great apostle, was writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And the word apostle is actually a legal term. It refers to someone who has the authority to speak on behalf of someone else. In this case, Paul had the authority to speak on behalf of Jesus because Jesus gave it to him when he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Said, I'll make you an apostle to the Gentiles. That's us. But Paul knew what his identity was. And we need to, too. But he's fully qualified to write this letter and help us better understand who we are in Christ and how we can fulfill our purpose in life. Now, he uses several words, and I want to deal with each one of them in a moment and explain something about them. But first, I've got a little illustration to help us see why it's so important to understand our identity in Christ. Excuse me just a moment. No, I'm getting dry. No, I'm fine. Scientists have told us that ducks intend to imprint soon after birth. Now, what does that mean? It means they will attach themselves to the first thing they see. And that usually works out fine because the first thing they usually see is a mama duck. So they become like her. But there was an occasion where a duckling was hatched under the watchful eye of a collie, a dog. And the baby duckling took one look at the collie and thought the collie was his mother. And he followed the collie around. He ran to it for protection. He even slept near the dog at night. When a car would pull into the driveway, the dog and the duck would run out and peck at the wheels. Other things changed too. Now the duck still quacked, and the duck still enjoyed the water. At times he acted like a duck. Other times he acted like a dog. And that's what we would call an identity crisis. Yeah? All of us go through them, believers as well as unbelievers. See, we've been born into a world that is fallen and sinful. And so we tend to become like the world because that's one of the first things we see other than our mother. Here's what happens. When we're impressed by the world, we don't really understand who we're supposed to be. We do try to do the right things, but we fail. We act like the thing we are rather than who we were created to be. So it's an identity crisis. Ducks are not supposed to act like dogs. And believers aren't supposed to act like unbelievers. So let's look at these four words or phrases from the passage of Scripture we read. And the first one is, you were chosen before the beginning of time to be holy, blameless, separated. That's what holy means. It means separated. Believers aren't supposed to act like unbelievers. I'm convinced this is one of the reasons why we don't see more people come to Christ. Because if our lives don't look any different from the lives of people outside the church, why would they bother? I think that's one of the reasons that we don't see more people coming to the Lord, because so many churchgoers' lives don't look that much different from anybody else. The word holy means separated. Paul said we live in the world, but we do not belong to the world. We sing, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, you know. Our time here is short. James says our lives are like a vapor. They're here today, and then they're blown away. Our time on earth passes very quickly. So because we are chosen by God, we must make choices on a daily basis for things that believers would do. You've been chosen to be a model, an example of what holiness looks like. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple. God had you on His mind before the creation of the world, Paul says. Imagine, did you ever think about that? Before darkness, before light, before there was land, before there were oceans, before anything was created, God was thinking of you and me. Before the creation. That's amazing. But we were chosen before anything ever happened. And the second phrase is that you were adopted by God's pleasure for His pleasure. Now, you and I have been adopted by the King, you might say. In a college social science class one day, a question came up. They were discussing adoption and child welfare and adoption procedures. And the professor happened to be a believer. And the question came up, how early should parents tell their child that he's adopted. And how should they tell the child? The professor answered, he said, tell them from the very beginning as early as possible. And when you tell them you looked all over the world, all the choices out there, and I chose you. I picked you over everyone else. That's how important you are to me. I think that's exactly what God is saying to us in this scripture. There's no one exactly like you. Look all the world over. No one just like you. That's why I chose you. I chose you for a special purpose. You and I can bring pleasure to the King of Kings. Do you ever stop and think about making God happy? We can bring Him pleasure. We were adopted for His pleasure. That's a priceless thought. Now the third one is this. You've been redeemed, you've been bought with a price that makes you priceless. I remember when I was a youngster, grocery stores used to give out S&H green stamps. Well, some people got top value stamps depending on what store they went to, but we got S&H green stamps. And depending on how much you spent for groceries, they'd roll out so many stamps and give to you with your groceries. And you take them home and paste them in a booklet and keep it in the kitchen drawer. And there would come a day when you had enough booklets, you could open the drawer, take them out, and go to the S&H Green Stamp Redemption Center. And you'd bring home a shiny new coffee pot or something for the house. I still have a shovel and a claw hammer that I got that way. And they're working fine after all these years. Well, God did the same for us. He took us to the Redemption Center at the foot of the cross. And He spilled His blood on us. And that took us from the category of sinner to saint. Remade into something that's worthy. Something that's shiny and new, clean. That's why Paul tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's been made all over again. The old has passed away and the new has come. We are redeemed. And that makes us special in the eyes of God. And the fourth one is that we're chosen on purpose for a purpose. Verse 9 reminds us that we are purposed in Christ. We were not a mistake. We were not an accident. We were made for a purpose. From before creation, God had us in mind, and He was intentional about the way He made us. The psalmist says it this way. He says, Lord, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We were made on purpose for a purpose. And Paul says in verse 13, we were marked with a seal. The seal of God's approval. The seal of God's protection. The seal of the Holy Spirit. We were established for a purpose. And once you understand who you are as sons and daughters in Christ, then you would begin to understand your purpose. To make known the glory of God and the redemption He's offering us in Christ. I can't verify this story is true, but let me tell it anyway. Years ago, a man who was quite wealthy, he shared a passion with his son for fine paintings, artwork. They had Picassos, they had Rembrandts, they had Van Goghs, they had Monets. They had paintings hanging all over the house, and they were priceless. As the boy grew older, though, war broke out, and he went off to fight for his country. And after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that his informing him that his son had been killed in battle while carrying a wounded soldier to a medic. Well, that Christmas, there was a knock at the old man's door, and when he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package. And he invited him in, and the soldier introduced himself to the old man. He said, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was carrying, he was rescuing when he died. I have something to show you." He said, "I'm an artist, and I want to give you this." And as the old man unwrapped the package, it revealed a portrait of his son. A very good likeness of his son in striking detail. Seemed to capture his personality, and the old man was so pleased with the painting. But the following spring, the old man got ill, and he died. According to his will, all of the artworks he owned were to be auctioned off. So the day arrived, and the art collectors swarmed in from all over the world to bid on some of the world's most spectacular art. And the auction began with a painting that was not on the auction's catalog. It was the portrait of the man's son. He said, "Who will open the bidding for $100? Silence. He said, "Anyone for $100? And someone called from the back and said, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Move on to the important stuff, the Van Goghs, the Rembrandts." But the auctioneer said, "No, we have to sell this one first. Anybody for $100? And finally a voice spoke up from the back of the room. He said, "Well, I knew the boy. I'd like to have the painting. I'll bid $100. And the auctioneer said, "I have a $100 bid. Anyone else? $150? Well, no one spoke up, so finally he said, gone. Sold for $100. And then somebody yelled out from the crowd, "Now we can get on to the important stuff." And the auctioneer looked at the audience and he announced that the auction was ended. And they were stunned. And someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. We want the real stuff. What about all these other paintings? There are millions of dollars worth of art here." And the auctioneer said, "Well, it's really very simple. According to the will of the father, whoever takes the son receives everything." And that reminds me so much of John 3:36, where John says, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." And I can't say much more than that. Our invitation hymn is number 395, "Close to Thee, Close to Thee." Let's stand while we sing the first and the last verses together.
Close to Thee, close to Thee. God, as this service comes to a close, lead us into new week, serving our Savior with love, and help us to delight in the life you have given us and the purpose you have set before us. May you be with us every moment until we come together again. We lift this prayer to you in the marvelous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.